Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, November the 18th. Coming up, a Kent charity criticises the government's latest plans to overhaul the asylum system. A dad says lives are being put at risk because of a lack of pavement. And hear from the Kent woman who became a legal guardian to 15 children when she was just 22. But first, people living on a road in Sheerness say they're having sleepless nights and suffering horrendous noise coming from a house being turned into an HMO. Now, the podcast has been told work at the property on Alma Street has been going on for more than 2 months. It's understood the property is being turned into a so-called house of multiple occupancy for six people. Well, our reporter Jo Crosley has been along and been chatting to neighbour Anne Tiller.
The last 2 months in my little house has been hell. I've had holes in my wall, holes in my bedroom, water down my front porch, by my electricity cupboard, and the noise has been horrendous. Yeah, sleepless nights, even though they're not meant to be working in the evenings, they are. And you go round and knock the door and you get one more hour. And I say, no, talk to the boss. No, it's time to finish work. We want some sleep. I need sleep. Yeah.
And you've heard that it's going to be HMO.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about your concerns about that.
My concerns with the HMO is that quite a few of them have got some not such nice people.
And just one last question. With a HMO itself, you're a little bit worried about what could happen in terms of sewage,
yes,
etc.
That house had one toilet and one bathroom. Now it's got three toilets, three bathrooms. If you have six people in there, you've got six lots of rubbish. We don't have bins, so it's bin bags. We have rats already down the back alley and mice running through your house. So where on earth is all that going to?
Well, you could hear some of the noise there during Anne's chat. Now, conversions of buildings into HMOs of less than six people don't actually need planning permission. However, because the property is in the Marine Town Conservation Area, the landlord should have applied for planning permission. We've been in touch with Swale Council and they've told us that they've received complaints about a possible breach of planning. The applicant has now submitted a retrospective application and the statement says, once validated, we will assess it on its own merits. Kent Online did also attempt to contact the owner of the building, but hasn't received a response.
Kent Online News.
A Chatham man who left a delivery driver with a broken nose and eye socket has avoided being sent to prison. Tasim Chowdhury carried out the attack in November 2022 after being told the victim wasn't permitted to carry his parcel inside a shop on Railway Street because of the company's insurance policy. The 23-year-old from the Ridgeway was given a 12-month suspended sentence and must do a rehab course. A Gillingham man's facing jail after dragging a police officer along a road when he tried to hang on to the dangerous driver's car door. Tony Atherton had been spotted behind the wheel of a vehicle in Chatham at the end of October. He initially pulled over and got out, but then drove off at speed. The 41-year-old from Chalky Bank Road admitted dangerous driving and driving without insurance and a licence. The case has now been sent to Crown Court. Two shops in Broadstairs High Street have had their licences suspended after outbreaks of disorder were linked to underage drinking. Staff at Shop Local and Lawns News Agents were recorded selling high-strength spirits to young people during increased incidents of antisocial behaviour this summer. They've lost their licences for 3 months and will have to do staff training. Now, a Kent charity that supports young refugees has criticised the government's plans to overhaul support the asylum system. Under proposals announced yesterday, most will have to wait 20 years to apply to settle here permanently, while refugees will be returned if their home country is deemed safe. Dr. Razia Sharif is the CEO of Kent Refugee Action Network, also known as CRAN. She says having refugee status reviewed regularly doesn't make sense and has been giving her reaction to those reforms to the podcast.
I think we are an open, tolerant and generous country and community. And I agree that the current system is a bit out of control. However, I really do not believe that these measures that are being introduced are fair, equitable, in line with the UN Convention and European Convention on Human Rights, in letter and in approach. And I think they're going to have a really detrimental effect on our young people in Kent.
We have already actually seen some Labour MPs come out and say pretty much the same thing, that they're not particularly happy. Are there any particular elements that you're especially worried about?
Yeah, I think the first one is, although we welcome and we've been trying as a sector to have safe and legal routes, the examples that are being given or suggested is actually discriminatory, because it's prioritising those with particular skills or who are in education and offering them priority to have refugee status, whereas actually it should be for everybody and anyone who's fleeing persecution. And I think there's an ethical question about over-relying on community sponsorship as a scheme, when it's a government's duty. They're the ones who signed up to the convention to actually offer a safe and legal route and actually offer a sanctuary to those who are fleeing. And I suppose the other areas would be this idea of having refugee status reviewed regularly. So I think the Refugee Council has been calculating that it'll cost about $87 million a year in order to introduce those new bureaucracies and levels. And actually, if it's already out of control, imagine how feasible is it actually going to be to do the additional bureaucracy. But even besides that, when we as a charity are working with young people to help them to thrive and contribute and adjust to life in society, if you don't even know you're going to be around next year, why would you take that time and energy to invest and communicate and be with the local community going forward? It's very destabilising, I think, for young people.
Kent Online reports.
A Folkestone man who carried out a string of robberies at supermarkets has avoided being sent to prison. Sean Tyne stole hundreds of pounds worth of goods from Tesco, Sainsbury's and B&M stores in the town over a three-month period. The 35-year-old, who has no fixed address, has been handed a community order. He must do rehab and pay compensation. Cocaine, ketamine and cash has been seized as police continue a crackdown on drug supply in Medway. Officers carried out targeted visits to hotspot locations in Chillingham and Rochester on Saturday. A sickle knife and crossbow were also seized. A Rochester man has been charged with drug offences. An abandoned garden centre near Wingham is going to be transformed into a multi-million pound specialist healthcare hub. Preston Garden Centre and the Coppers Bistro announced their shop closure last August. The site's been bought by a healthcare group who support people with complex needs. Well, bosses say it will be a pioneering facility in Kent with purpose-built residential accommodations and a community hub. Next on the podcast, and a Kent dad says children's lives are being put at risk due to a lack of pavement along a stretch of road in Sittingbourne. Daniel Thomas is calling for pavements to be installed on Heisted Road, which is used by hundreds of students, and it follows a series of near misses. He says there's been a lack of action since a nearby housing estate was finished in 2007, and he started a petition. Well, Daniel's been speaking to our reporter, Cara Simmons.
Frustrated that nothing has been done along here in terms of building the path. I think it's been needed since the Eden Village housing estate was built. I believe the funding has been there since the Eden Village housing estate was built, and there's more funding coming for the path now, but KCC don't really seem to be interested in doing it. It just seems to be a massive risk before someone's hurt. Well, more people are hurt, I should say.
Obviously, it's important now. Obviously, this road has been like it for some time. So why now? Why is it more important to get it sorted and fixed?
I think previous people have looked at this and tried to sort it out and argue with this with the council before. I've always been concerned about this little stretch of road. People always seem to have been fighting the cause. Seems to have gone a bit quiet recently, so I thought I'd pick it up and have a go and see what I could do.
And I think as well, the fact that we've got, you know, loads of new houses going up in the near future, more pedestrians, more cars, it's just all increasing.
It's going to get worse, definitely. And the new construction that's been built up there, and there's going to be a lot of construction traffic. I'm told that the construction traffic isn't allowed to go up this way, but people aren't allowed to do a lot of things when they drive, and they still do. So I don't see that that is an absolute guarantee that that won't happen. And, you know, you can start getting HGVs coming along this stretch of road, big machinery. It's just going to increase the risk.
Was it just KCC that you went to with your initial queries?
Initially with KCC, I had to go around several different people within KCC before I got to the right person to speak to. I have also spoken to Swale local councillors who have given me their point of view and their feedback on the situation. But ultimately, it lies with KCC now to sort this out.
What did they tell you in response?
They've made me aware of some funding that's going to be available to build the path, and they are dealing with and talking to the schools, local schools, to get this sorted out. I don't understand why this hasn't been done before, though. It's been so many years. Why has there not been a plan put forward before? They've had funding to do this path before in 2015, yet nothing was done. So we just need to keep the pressure on them and make sure they actually deliver on it this time.
And we've had this statement through from Kent County Council.
We understand concerns about the absence of a pavement on Highstead Road. Funding for highway improvements in the area, including a new pavement, has been secured through a Section 106 agreement. This funding will be released once the first new homes on Swan Street Avenue are occupied. Progress on the scheme has faced challenges due to land constraints, but we are working closely with landowners to resolve these issues and deliver a safe, continuous pedestrian route. As part of the development, the developer will also provide informal crossing points on Swan Street Avenue. We remain committed to improving pedestrian safety and will continue negotiations to ensure the scheme is ready when funding becomes available.
Kent Online reports.
Now, you may well have guessed, a cold weather alert has been issued for Kent. The yellow warning came into force at midday yesterday and will be in place until 8 a.m. on Saturday. We're being told there's potential for significant impacts on health services. It's thought controversial plans for a solar farm near Maidstone could be given the go-ahead after all. Officers had initially recommended the area for land at Harp Farm in Boxleet be refused due to it being in an area of outstanding natural beauty. Well, councillors decided to defer a decision and give the company behind it the chance to improve the landscaping. A shop in Canterbury has been told it will be allowed to offer alcohol deliveries 24 hours a day. Canterbury Wine Mart on St Dunstan Street had previously applied for similar permission in 2015 and 2017, but the plans at that time were rejected. Well, now a subcommittee at the council has agreed Uber, Deliveroo and Just Eat will be allowed to take alcohol from the store to addresses in the city. Next, this is quite an incredible story. A Kent woman who became the legal guardian of 15 children at the age of just 22 has been telling us how she's helping families in Tanzania. Letty McMaster travelled there on a gap year and ended up taking over an orphanage that would otherwise have closed down. She's now 31 and runs a charity called Street Children Iringa, which provides homes and education. Letty, who's from Tunbridge Wells, has been chatting to Lucy.
I first went out to Tanzania when I was 18, just on like a normal gap year kind of volunteering thing. And then when I actually got there, I came across a really abusive orphanage. So I spent the next 3 years, most of the next 3 years there, learning the language and supporting the children in any way that I could. And then when I was 22, the local government shut down the orphanage and the social welfare registered me as the legal guardian of 9 children that were to be left homeless.
What was that like at the age of 22?
I mean, it obviously sounds wild now when you think about it, but it was just kind of, that was just what I was doing, and I was just determined to set up a home for these children, to have a safe place, to feel like it was their home and to get the love and care that they always deserved. So I just kind of didn't really think about the bigger picture and just went for it. And then now 9 years later, they've all done so well and the charity's expanded loads, obviously to their second house, which is the safe house that I set up in 2019. And that actually welcomes 100 Current Street children every year now. And so managed to help a lot more children off the streets.
tell me a bit about what life is like for those children. I mean, not just obviously in the orphanage that you first discovered when you were out there, but just in general, you know, for children who might be, you know, on the streets, and how important it is for them to have a safe place to go.
Yeah, well, there's so many children on the streets, and each one of them has their own individual story and reason for being there. But it's very common for children to be, the only way they can survive is by going in the dumps, trying to find rubbish or bottles or anything metal to sell in order to get some food for the day. And they'll sleep in dangerous situations, obviously, like in the gutters. And it's just a horrible place to be. But a lot of them are there for, there's many different reasons. There's some children who are there because their family situation, they don't have enough money. So then I do lots of different things through my charity. If there's a child who's on the streets because their family is unable to support them, but there's love there and they're able, it's a safe place for them to be, then I rehome that child with their relatives and support the family from there. And we've had lots of success stories from children who I actually found in the dumps, one boy when he was 12, and rehomed him with his mum and managed to set her up with a local business, and then supported him and his brother through their education. And he's now in his A-levels and doing so well. So there's lots of different ways of helping the children. But then there's other situations where it's not safe for the child to be rehomed. And then it's finding another way for them to have a life away from the streets.
And what kind of feedback have you had from all those children and all those families you've helped over the years? I imagine some of the children have kind of grown up with you looking after them and gone on to do incredible things.
Out of the 15 children that I fully raised throughout their primary, secondary and higher education, they've all gone on to do so well, with one of them becoming a professional boxer in the region, another one going to one of the top football academies in the country. And then one of the boys, Gosper, who I met when he was just 10 years old at the orphanage and have supported throughout his primary, secondary and A-level education, he ended up getting the best results in Tanzania for the A-levels that he did. And he's now studying at the University of Cape Town. So from literally living on the streets to going to the best university in Africa is just incredible. So I'm so proud of them all.
And finally today, this is one of our most read stories on the website. The boss of an Ashford bakery says it's the traditional products they sell that's kept them going. Andy Davies started working at the shop, which was then known as Ashdown's, in 1980 when he was just 15 and needed to do some work experience, where he was promoted to head baker 4 years later and took over as manager when he turned 30. He now runs Davies Family Bakery on Beaver Road with his wife Tracy, serving around 100 customers a day. You can read that story in full today by heading to the website.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham's young players are in FA Youth Cup action tonight. They're taking on Forest Green Rovers in the second round at Priestfield. It follows the under-18s 4-2 win over Hertford Town. Kickoff is at 7. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.